Buried glaciers have been spotted on Mars, offering new hints about how much water might be accessible on the Red Planet and where it is located. And although we have long known to exist that water was there, a better understanding of its depth and location could be vital to future human explorers. It's an incredible report. And also another incredible story, members of the Society for Planetary SETI Research are increasingly confident that the new evidence of artificial structures on the surface of Mars has now been verified in a new scientific paper published in the current issue of the Journal of Space Exploration. In a moment, two of those authors join us as we talk with George Haas and Bill Saunders on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. An incredible story. Artificial structure on Mars verified in a science journal. First, let me introduce William Saunders, we call him Bill, a graduate of the University of Alberta in Edmonton back in 1977 with a Bachelor of Science degree in geomorphology. He began work in the petroleum industry in Calgary, Alberta in 1978, currently works as an independent petroleum geoscientist consultant in Calgary. Mr. Saunders began looking at the Mars Global Surveyor images with their first release back in April of 1998, and he met Mr. Haas on a website conference room shortly thereafter. Hey, Bill, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, George. Thanks for having me back.
My pleasure.
The bio is a little out of date. I've actually retired and moved to southern British Columbia from Calgary.
You would never retire.
Oh, yeah. You got it. Someday.
All right. And George Haas is a member of the Society for Planetary SETI Research and the founder and premier investigator of the Cydonia Institute. He's a member of both the Pre-Columbian Society of the University of Pennsylvania in Washington, D.C. He is a well-known author as well, The Martian Codex. And here's George Haas back on Coast to Coast. Hey, George.
Hey, George, it's a pleasure to be back here talking to you.
You too.
Exciting stuff here.
You too. Let's. And I'm going to just, you know, both your mics are open, so jump in at any time. But tell me about this release, this incredible story about the artificial structure on Mars that apparently has been verified. I'll start with you, George.
Yes, it's a long story. this is, over 10 years working on this paper with Bill and our fellow authors, other members of the Society for Planetary SETI Research and the Cydonia Institute, Michael Dale, who's a geologist out in Oklahoma, and my good friend James Miller, who's an image analyst and specialist. He's up in New Jersey. We've all been working on this since a colleague of ours back in 2002 presented this image that he had found in a Mars Global Surveyor image back in 2001 that was released. And he noticed it, I believe, a year later after it was released. And he presented it on a discussion board that was run by James Miller, mm-hmm. the Anomaly Hunters. And that was put up on the board back then, and we were all pretty excited about it. But we only had the one image. And this is way back in 2002. And then a year later, the Mars Global Surveyor took a little higher resolution image of it, more overhead. And that was another Mars Global Surveyor image that was released in 2003. And that's basically all we had for, 5 or 6 years. And that's how this all started. The formation is a very symmetrical, three-sided pyramid. It has a circular base, three angles. There's the three symmetrical triangle faces around the formation. And it's just pretty stunning, and we were very anxious to get more images of it. So this is how this all started.
All right, and Bill, tell us a little bit about your involvement with George and how this started for you.
Well, I am an associate director of the Cydonia Institute with George, and George is constantly sending me things that he wants me to have a look at, and definitely was intrigued by this object, by this structure. It sits alone in a channel. I guess it would be the best thing to be called. It's a canyon area that's very, very complex in its development. The canyon I'm talking about, there's all kinds of things have been going on here, lava flows. There's been water gone through here. There's probably water sat here at some time as well. And this pyramid sits by itself and totally unique and anomalous to the area. So I said to Georgia, I'll join in and we can work on this. It was kind of an on-again, off-again project because we've had lots of others projects on the go, as you know, because we've been on your show with different things at different times.
Mm-hmm.
But we just managed to finally get it finished and get it published.
We've got a picture of this pyramid linked up at coasttocoastam.com for those of you who want to go to the website and look at the link that we have with George and William. And take a look at that picture, and the article is there too of the release that I was just mentioning. When you look at it from above, George and Bill, it is truly remarkable because at that point, it really doesn't look like nature made it, does it?
Bill?
No, it certainly doesn't. It's George will probably explain the geometry here in a bit, but it's actually he said the base is circular. It's not quite circular. It's each side of the three sides has an arced base, and there's three spines to the pyramid. One side of the pyramid has appears to have collapsed to some degree. There's you can see where it's fallen away, and
on like the right side of it.
Yeah, a bit of a debris field at the
yeah.
base of it.
It's remarkable. Well, George, let's talk about the geometry because that's important, especially when one talks about man-made versus nature.
Right. If the listeners are able to go and take a look at the collection of slides that we have, they can look at the first one there, slide A, which shows the two images that we've been talking about so far, the two early Mars Global Surveyor images.
Mm-hmm.
That's one on the left, the 2002, that's the one that Will Faust, a friend of ours, who has passed away, unfortunately, early on in this research, that's the one that he presented to us. And then, of course, the second one, which is a little sharper, you can see that the three faces are very symmetrical. The spines or the angles are very sharp. Like Bill said, this is, you know, just jumps out at you when you see this, that, my God, what is this? You know, what is this doing sitting there? And what we found doing the research in the paper is that this almost is like a Rolex geometry, which is because of that curved circular base. If you go down in the slides and you look at the number lettered C, it'll show you the graphic going around there. And in this piece, we used the, eventually, NASA took a high-resolution image with the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter in 2007. They actually took two images of this formation. So then at this point, we had like four images to work with. And you can see that the exquisite geometry that goes around this. I mean, it's just amazing that this formation is sitting there all by itself, appearing to be all by itself at this point. It's just astonishing how we think.
And in terms of the height, how tall is it?
It's about 470 feet high. It's pretty tall. It's a large structure. It's about 950 feet across, which is about a one-fifth of a mile across.
That's big.
It's a major sized pyramid. This isn't this is a lot larger than the Giza pyramid. So if it's 470 feet high by about 950 feet across.
Go ahead, Bill.
I just want to say, and in Canada here we're more in the metric system. So, but this is it stands out a little more. The height in meters is 145 meters. And the diameter at the base is 290 meters. So it's a 2-to-1 ratio, exactly 2-to-1 ratio, the base to the height.
Would you say that, Bill, that is pretty symmetrical in that it seems to be precision pinpointed?
Yes. The Rialus triangle formation is the only formation that can be made out of three concentric circles.
If this happened to be natural, George, how would it have been made this way, naturally?
Well, myself, you know, having an art background and, you know, looking at the structures and the sculptural aspect of it, looks artificial to me. As for any kind of geology, you'd have to talk to Bill.
Okay. All right. And in terms of, you know, if nature were to make this, Bill, how would it happen?
Well, I've never seen anything quite like this in nature because usually you have directional forces on this, on a formation coming from basically one major direction, and then you get weather systems and storms and stuff that bring forces from other directions. But how you end up with three sides exactly the same, mathematically the same, in an area that has nothing else like that, everything else is very, very irregular. I don't know how anything like this would form in nature.
And then when you look at the pyramids here on this planet, and there's always been talk that the Martians came here, some calamity, they escaped. I mean, it does bring you to some very fascinating possibilities, to be sure. What kind of material, if it's made by some other entity other than nature, what kind of material, Bill, might it be? Is it rock? Is it limestone? What might it be?
I think it's some form of rock. It's hard to tell. The side that is illuminated the most has evidence of a stratigraphy along that side that actually looks like it could be casing stones. However, if you look at the north side where you have the bit of collapse, you can kind of see inside the structure a little bit, and it looks like it's fairly natural material. So my guess is this was piled up, but I'm just guessing really. There's so much windblown material here that's covering different aspects that it's difficult to say for sure.
At least here on this planet, we talked about the pyramids being power plants, or they are tombs for dead pharaohs and queens. So those other possibilities. What do you think this one might be, George?
Yes. Back to what Bill was talking about, either the sedimentary strata on the formation, is it just natural, or are these casting stones? The listeners, if they're able to go on to the Coast to Coast slide collection, that would just scroll down to slide D, and that'll give you a nice little section there showing you what we're seeing. That very graphic area there showing all of the lines going, and almost looks like building blocks. And Bill's right, the northern side, which is collapsed, looks like, you know, dirt and sand and gravel and things like that in there. And possibly what, you know, ancient cultures here on Earth did when building mounds. American Indians built a lot of mounds.
Yeah.
Egyptians built mounds and pyramids. And a lot of these were originally built with, like he said, you know, stacking earth and soil. And then the outside of it would be covered at times with more of a durable, you know, stone or casting stones or blocks. And that's what we're seeing on the left side. So this formation on Mars is really revealing a lot of information if you get down there and take a look at it. And the only thing we can think that could produce something like this would be, you know, the artificial influence.
Could this have been carved out of something that was already there naturally?
Certainly. And then the casting stones put on top of it. People speculate that's what the Sphinx was, you know, actually just a large landform there that was carved out to look like a Sphinx.
That's right. So
it's not out of the question.
Tell me about the other two authors of the paper, James Miller and Michael Dale.
Michael Dale, he's a geologist. He came to the Sidonia Institute back in 2010. He worked with us originally on the Parrot Formation that we had found. That's actually another formation that Will Faust found. Will found this three-sided pyramid. He had a great eye. He was constantly scouring the surface of Mars looking for things. And he had found the parrot on Mars, which we had had a science paper.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, we were on your show with that.
Yeah.
And Michael Dale came on board because we had trouble getting the paper published. They said we needed another geologist. And I think they just said that in tongue-in-cheek, thinking that, you know, they gave us like a month to get another geologist to join the paper or they wouldn't publish it. And I had known Michael for a while, actually met him on Facebook, and I immediately contacted him and sent him the paper, and he looked at it and joined the group, and we got the paper published. So Michael Dale's been a very intricate part of our group. He really has an eye for the geology, and him and Bill basically collaborate on all the geology. This goes back and forth. You know, they work on a part and send it back. So it's taken us 10 years to write this paper, George.
That's a long time.
It is, and we have 14 years of images in the paper, which, you know, all these different images are taken at different times, different years, different seasons, so we get to see the effects of light and the environment on these formations, and that seems to be consistent. So that's who Michael Dale is. And then there's James Miller, who I've known for, must be 20 years, and he's from New Jersey. He's an independent researcher. He's an image specialist.
Mm-hmm.
He does all of the enhancements and things of our early work, and Jim Miller really taught me a lot about how to enhance the images and work with the NASA photographs and stuff. So Jim's a great friend, and he's been in working on all of our papers also. So.
Were they all astounded, everybody who worked on the paper, were they all astounded when they initially saw these pictures?
Well, I know when I sent it to Michael Dale recently, because he hadn't seen this, because he had no idea about any of this stuff, that this little three-sided pyramid. He wanted me to tell him where it was on Earth, because he didn't think this was on Mars.
He wanted to go see it here.
He didn't
right?
believe it. Yes.
And now, of course, you are very familiar with the face on Mars in Cydonia, obviously.
Oh yeah.
How close is this pyramid to that area?
Well, this three-sided pyramid here is in the Candor Chasm, and it's in the western hemisphere next to by the Valles Marineris.
Okay, explain that to us, who aren't familiar with Mars.
Right, the face on Mars is in the northern hemisphere. It's in Cydonia. Valles Marineris is like southwest of that.
How many miles do you think?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, thousands?
It's pretty far.
Okay.
It's pretty far.
All right. What is
the Parrot Formation is basically directly below Cydonia, and this formation is more southwest.
So if we sent astronauts to Mars in this region, and they walked up to this structure, would they be able to tell instantly if it was man-made as opposed to nature?
Well, I'm not sure, because when the settlers came to America and started going west and finding a lot of these huge mounds that American Indians made, a lot of them didn't even know that they were artificial hills, and some of them were as big as mountains.
True.
There were actually American Indian mounds that were as big as the Gaza Pyramid.
Well, that's true. There's one in Cahokia, right where I am. I'm in St. Louis right now.
When they came out there, a lot of them started, using the soil and digging them out, and then they found out that as they were taking them apart to use them for other means, that these were artificial structures. They would see round basket type of imprints where they would like take baskets of dirt and keep piling it up. They actually found these type of relics that were still into the mound.
Hold on, George and Bill, we'll be back. We'll talk more about this incredible story of what could be an artificial structure on Mars. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with George Haas and William Sanders, as we talk about the three-sided pyramid on Mars. What an amazing story, George and William, isn't it? How many other structures might there be on Mars similar to this? What do you think, George?
We've scoured the planet, and we have a few in our files that are very similar to this that have three-sided, triangular faces that look like a three-sided pyramid. In the paper, I didn't include a slide here, but any of the listeners out there want to go to the paper, I think the Coast to Coast has provided a link. We have a similar formation that was found in Cydonia, right down from the face, which we incorporate in the paper. So right in the Cydonia area, there's a smaller, much smaller three-sided pyramid that's right there in Cydonia.
William, I'm going to ask you to kind of paint us a picture of what life might have been like on Mars when this area might have been very vibrant and flourishing. Can you kind of give us a hint of what you think could have been out there?
Well, I would say there's a lot of areas of Mars that were probably oceans. This particular area looks like there were probably there's numerous occurrences of strata here that look like shorelines, and that is the area has undergone transgression or regression of oceans. And I would say that some of these structures in this area were probably islands that sat in the middle of a sea.
Well, that's interesting. Now, if there were indigenous people in that region, would they have lived around this too?
Yeah, I think we have some evidence that that may be the case.
Yeah, there's a lot more here going on in this area that we're also working on, that possibly be another paper, but that'll be another time. Like Bill said, this whole area has a lot of evidence of water, and the reason we got the 2007 high-rise image was because of a planetary scientist by the name of Dr. Catherine Witz. She's the one that requested the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. They have a high wish program where citizens and scientists can put in a request to photograph different areas for
okay.
their research.
Yeah. And then they pick it, maybe.
Right, and right. then they pick it. And she's the one that actually got the high-rise image selected. And the reason that they were looking at this area was because of all the sedimentary rock. I think she's authored a few papers that deal with this, the sedimentary aspects of the area that we're looking at. And I have spoken to her. She actually lives here in Arlington, Virginia. And as Dr. Brandenburg says, when these scientists look at these areas, they're just looking at geology and they're looking for water. And that's basically what she's doing. She never even saw this.
Are they blown away when they do see it?
She didn't give me much comment, but she just said that she was not aware of the formation, and I had to point it out to her.
Has anybody,
like,
George?
This stuff is right in front of them, and they don't see it. They're
really
looking for other things.
Yeah, exactly. Has anybody pointed out natural structures on Earth that could be similar to what we just saw on Mars?
Oh, there's a lot of conical-shaped formations like this on. I mean, they're all over the place out in the Midwest, but none of them have these flat, you know, triangular faces with these, you know, very sharp spines and angles. I mean, you don't find that.
No, you don't.
So, this is totally an anomaly. If this is natural, this is a bizarre anomaly. And Bill discusses in the paper, I don't know if he wants to go into detail, about all of these raked-like sand dunes around the formation, which are caused probably by wind. It almost looks like a cultivated field there when you look at some of these images. And he's perplexed about how those are formed when they're supposed to be formed by wind, but you would have wind directions and all different ways coming over this formation causing sand dunes, but they would all be going in one direction.
How old could this area be, William?
I don't know, George. I really couldn't say. It's undergone numerous changes over the years. As I said, there's evidence of different shorelines at different elevations. There's evidence of water flow as well as standing water, wind. There's been landslide movements. It's a lot of stuff going on. It's quite amazing to see the entire area in a high resolution and to scan it, because it's very, very complex.
Indeed. But I guess we could say it could be millions of years old, right, if we had to guess?
Well, yes, the area, but the pyramid itself, it's hard to say. My thinking is it's relatively more recent than that, because you don't see the evidence of shorelines around it that you see around some of the other rock. You don't see depositional material in the southern end of the spine, which, if the wind direction from the other dunes looks like it should leave a large tail of debris. It's not there, so possibly it was reworked, or by wind or water, or not, sorry, not by wind, but by water, or by hand.
If
We've
you look
seen.
at the planet from above, and then you look at these structures, is there any pattern to it or any kind of connection between them?
Are you asking about like the placement of these structures? I'm
Yeah,
finding these
yeah.
little complexes. I haven't done any research like that, but a colleague of mine, Greg Orme, who has he's the one that found the king face, the queen face that we actually did
Right.
a paper on a couple of years ago.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah.
He's done an analysis of finding all of these structures, and he seems to think that a lot of these are found along the ancient Martian equator. A lot of these are found in that area.
Might have been an area that was heavily populated.
Exactly. That's and he's done a lot of research on that, and I think he has a something on his website that goes into some of that, connecting the face on Mars and the queen face and some of the other things that he has found. A structure like the Parrot Formation would be way out beyond his study of this thick belt going around the Martian equator, where he's finding a lot of these structures. This
George,
would fall into that area.
obviously something catastrophic happened to Mars some time ago. What do you think it was? Was it a collision with another planetary object? Was there a nuclear war there? What do you think happened?
Well, this is George. I think I go along with Dr. Brandenburg about the nuclear, the two explosions that hit in Utopia in the Sidonia area that destroyed the planet. I think these structures, like Bill said, were built more recent, and these were probably remnants of that war or that catastrophe. These aren't real ancient, geological formations. These are more recent, artificial structures that some culture built and was destroyed by some war, which Dr. Brandenburg pretty much documents in his book.
That could be. That could be. And do you think they came here?
Of course, yeah. This is where we came from. Like Richard Hoagland says, we are the Martians.
We are who they are.
Right.
It's amazing when scientists see this or other geologists. I mean, are they baffled by it? How about you, William?
Well, I don't know, to tell you the truth. I've been a little bit jaded that we've been doing this. Well, it's coming up to 20 years since George and I met online and started working together. And I know that many of my colleagues, former colleagues, when I was working in Calgary, they didn't really want to get involved in studying. They were in studying it. It was, well, we'll leave that up to the people at JPL or NASA or wherever. And I'd show them different things, and they just kind of shrugged.
And myself, I've found the same reaction to the limited access I've had to geologists and things like that, especially this Dr. Catherine Witz, who I brought this to her attention. Haven't received any comment back. I don't know. I've sent her a link to
Really?
the
Yeah, I would have
paper.
thought you would have gotten excited about this.
Not that I could see. And she hasn't even responded back about reading the paper. So I don't know. I guess she just deleted it.
I mean, they don't even say definitely this was made by nature. They don't even go that way.
No. You would think that would be the quick response. Oh, this is just natural and blow it off. They don't even make that type of statement.
Are they interested in looking at it?
They may be in the privacy of their own home, but not publicly.
Not publicly. That's, you know,
Well, you
well.
can see that everywhere. George, we've got no press on this discovery.
Other than what we're doing?
Just what you're doing. We've sent this to CNN, Fox, New York Times, Washington Post, Washington Times, all the papers.
Nothing.
The journals, other journals, nothing.
That's disappointing.
Oh, very. Yeah, it's like, why are we doing this? Bill and I have been doing this, like you said, for 20 years. We've published 5 papers. This is our 5th paper. And it's like we're just spinning our wheels. I mean, it's nice to come on here and talk to you and have a great time. You know, later on, I'm sure we'll get some callers that want to talk about Bigfoot.
Oh, yes, you will.
But, you know, where are we going with this? It's like nobody wants to touch this hot potato.
Tell me about the Society for the Planetary City Research. Tell me about the group.
Bill and I are both members. I've been a member, since I think probably 8 years ago or whatever. And it's a group of scientists that are interested in planetary research in our solar system. The members, I'm sure some of the people in the audience know Dr. Mark Corlato.
Mm-hmm.
He's a member. Dr. Stanley McDaniel, Dr. Brandenburg. All the illuminaries of this research are all part of the Society for Planetary City Research. Myself, I'm just honored to be part of the group. My background is in art and sculpture. I don't have any science background. That's why I have, you know, Bill helping me with the paper, because he's a geomorphologist. Michael Dale's a geologist. But my background is in art. And the Society for Planetary City Research, most of them are geologists and physicists. And so I'm kind of like the odd man out being a member. I'm very honored to be in that group. And they've been around since 1991, I believe. So they've been really hard at work. And last year we lost the president, Horace Crater. He passed away. I attended his funeral. It was very sad. He died of cancer.
Oh, geez.
And so we just lost him last year.
Wasn't he the one, Mark Carlotto, the one who said that there's an eyeball in the face at Sedonia?
The humanoid side, NASA even took a high-resolution Mars Global Surveyor image, the highest resolution it could conjure up, and they did a very detailed image of the eye area. Yeah, there's definitely an eye. It's in our second book we discussed the eye on the humanoid side. It's very detailed, too. It's right where an eye should be. I think Richard Hoagland had made a big deal about that when that was taken back in the early days of with the NASA Mars Global Surveyor. So yeah, Mark Collado was very instrumental in doing a lot of work on the face on Mars. Dr. Stanley McDaniel, he had the book out about Sedonia. And so yeah, a lot of these people that we're working with here at the Society for Planetary SETI Research, you know, have a long history with this.
Well, you know, you would think that with this recent report that was just released that admits that the government has had another study going into UFOs from 2007 to 2017, that somebody there would be interested in this just to at least take a look at it.
Well, I think people that are interested in UFOs aren't really interested in Mars and the moon and things like that. They're more interested in getting evidence of, saucers and things like that flying, and photographic evidence, and you know, the government coming clean about abductions and aliens, and structures on Mars are just I don't think they equate with their interest. Not my personal opinion.
Do you think that the inhabitants of Mars, and in terms of Brandenburg's theory of a nuclear war, it could have also been a nuclear war that came from outside of Mars, where whatever might have been on the planet at the time, maybe primitive life, might have been destroyed by extraterrestrials that destroyed Mars, right?
Well, that's what Dr. Brandenburg thinks, that he thinks the Martian culture was probably a Bronze Age, kind of like a steampunk type of culture. And they were just wiped out by this alien force that came in and just wiped them out.
The big question is, why would they do that?
Right, and that's the scary part about, is this what they do? That's why we're not getting any transmissions from outer space of other planets, you know, telling us, hey, we're here. Because, you know, once they know you're here,
they wipe
no
you
longer
out.
There.
Yeah, that might be a very warring type group of entities. I mean, I'm convinced that in Robert Oppenheimer, the founder of our atomic program, he was convinced that there was some kind of nuclear war or detonation a long time ago around India, Pakistan, in that area.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of evidence for that also.
Yeah, and so who's to say that the same group that destroyed Mars didn't do that here?
Right, and thought they were done with us.
Right, but we bounced back awfully fast. Fascinating research. So now, where does this take you next? I mean, the paper's out. You said you're working on another one. Can you give us a hint what it could be?
Well, if the listeners go down to the slides that you've provided, and there's slide G.
Okay.
Are you looking at that, George?
No, I don't have that up right now.
Oh, well, in the slide G, it shows the three-sided pyramid, and we're looking at the angles or the spines of the pyramid, showing the three triangular faces.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow the eastern spine and go west, it points right across this, like, ridge line there, and then there's another formation. It shows another, in the paper, we call it a wedge-shaped mound that sticks up.
Uh-huh.
It's also obvious in the first couple images, but there's not a lot of detail around the
Okay, well, folks, during the break, take a look at that picture, and we're going to come back and take questions with Bill Saunders and George Haas in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.